B-Pod Studios.
Donuts, hot sauce, candy. Matt Schaefer has you covered with the Sports Hub Grub Podcast. 98.5 thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
Toucher and Granger live on Radio Row. Toucher at the GWC, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Hey, Bob. I randomly guessed there might be a Williams working at the station. I'm calling from Texas. I'm a diehard Patriots fan. I wrote a song about Brady. I'm going to sing it really quick. I'm going to give you my contact number if you think it's any good. So here it is. Listen up, listen up. We know the score. We have a super quarterback with one mighty roar. Call me old, call me slow. You say I'm done. I'm the freaking GOAT at age 41. Disputed blessings from heaven above. Brady needs no cape, not even a shove. Psycho Tom, Super Tom, look in my eyes. My loyal fans watch with no surprise. 2-minute warning, stay out of my way. Marching down the field, the Irish Lightning way. Brady, Brady, Dooncha, Dooncha. Brady, Brady, Dooncha, Dooncha. Okay, my contact number is... My name is... And I created a song for Tom Brady and the Patriots. Thank you, sir.
He went in Maroon 5 as a halftime show. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
That was a dude who just left a random voicemail on one of our sales guys' machines because he just called 98.5 the Sports Hub and they said, for so-and-so, press it. He just pressed like random buttons. And apparently he wanted it to get to us. So,
by the way, London Fletcher was seated in the Big Y world-class market guest chair this hour from media or Radio Row is brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. Now, I don't know what this is, Rich, but I am on pins and needles.
So yesterday at around 10:48 p.m., I receive an email. I open it up. It says, hey, Rich, hey. Thanks for calling me out on Friday. My apologies for not sending anything in lately. I switched jobs and started a podcast, so I briefly put the parodies on the back burner. I was on a cruise in Bermuda, so that's why there weren't any songs for the World Series. So I'm back now with one for the Super Bowl. Let's get everyone pumped up for the Super Bowl. Signed, Mike behind the mic.
Yeah.
Callahan.
Oh, boy. Look out, world.
Here we go.
Scott Zolak. Crank your iPod or whatever you're listening on right now. This one's for you, baby. We have not heard from this gentleman in, what, over a year?
I mean, it's been too long. Now, Scott's been sending pictures of him to us.
Yes, he is. Scott Zolak is obsessed with Mike behind the mic Callahan.
He's obsessed with his teeth.
He is. It has been almost a year. So, ladies and gentlemen, because they are once again in the Super Bowl, take it away, Mike behind the mic.
We're still here.
Our job in Kansas City. Now we face the Rams in the Super Bowl, and we'll never lose 1 minute of sleeping, worrying about the bad things haters say. Pats fans keep on grinning, Tom Brady keeps on winning, 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 winning in Atlanta. Throw a touchdown pass to Burkhead. Throw a forward pass down to Gronkowski. All the haters thought the dynasty was over, but we still had faith in Bill Belichick's team. Pats fans keep on grinning. Tom Brady keeps on winning. 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 Winning in Atlanta.
Mike behind the mic. Callahan.
Throw
a forward pass.
Yeah. Don't listen. No. Don't throw that thing backwards. You throw that thing as forwards as you can huck it.
Winning.
Yep.
Winning.
Where are you winning?
Winning in Atlanta.
Okay, that is going to be in my head all week. I think the last time that we got a song from him was the classic Gronk is the word, isn't it? Take it away!
Oh, well, everybody's heard. The Gronk's the word.
Gronk is the word.
Well, Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Well, Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Well, Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Well, Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, don't you know that Gronk's the word? Well, everybody knows that Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk.
Sport end.
Oh, well, everybody's heard that Gronk's the word. Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well,
Gronk.
Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Well, Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, don't you know that Gronk's the word? Well, everybody knows that Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk. Gronk is the word. Oh, well, Gronk.
Gronkowski.
And then just the random voice effect.
That is torture. It is unmitigated torture. How many times do you think he says Gronkowski in that?
He might say Gronk 300 times in that.
Worrying about the bad things haters say. Hats fans keep on grinning.
Yep, they are grinning.
Tom Brady keeps on winning.
Winning in Atlanta. Not quite as good as Do Your Job, however.
No, that is
do
not.
Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job. Hell yeah. Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job. Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job. Hey, Brady, gronk, do your job. Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job. Well, the motto about our team that gets us fired up every game. Do your job. Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job. And they practice every day while they're prepping for the game. Coach Belichick will say,
do your job.
Hell yeah. Do your job, Coach Bill. Do your job. Hell yeah. Do your job, Coach Bill.
Do your job. This is like a madman. We're going on a murder spree.
Do your job. Do your job, Coach Bill. Oh, and when we play the Seahawks.
Oh, my God. Please don't end.
And we know that the fans will say,
okay,
bring back home the Lombardi. When we get back to Gillette, we'll hear the coach's mouth preaching
nice
at a crime. Tell us what a wicked piss of job that the Patriots did. Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job. Hell yeah. Do your job, Coach Bill says do your job. Hell yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Right. Oh.
Yeah. So, hey, that Mike, happened. Keep making him.
Very prolific.
Keep setting him in.
Very prolific.
He's a very prolific man. Yes, yeah, he is.
He is a big fan of the Boston sports teams. There's no question.
He is.
All right. Mike Gorman is going to join us, and when we talk to him, how much do you think he's going to poo-poo the Anthony Davis rumors?
Oh, not the rumors.
No.
Are you talking about, like, whether Kyrie is going to leave?
That's the thing he'll poo-poo. The Patriots, it's well known that the Patriots have wanted Davis for over a year. And multiple reports in the last 24 hours after he filed
his
trade request.
Stupid.
Yes, the Celtics.
You said
Sorry.
The Patriots like a jackass.
So the Celtics have wanted Davis for many years.
Oh, hey, the Patriots want Anthony Davis. Play what position, bozo?
Yeah, my fault.
Look at this guy over here.
He's a real ne'er-do-well.
Get a load of this guy. What, can I got your tongue?
I don't know. Shut up, it's early.
Okay, go ahead.
Danny Ainge has coveted Davis for over a year, and we've read multiple reports since Davis filed his trade request through his agent to ESPN that he wanted out, that Danny really wants him. So Gorman knows this. Everybody knows this. He wants Anthony Davis. He's been preparing to make a deal for Anthony Davis for a long time, and he's called New Orleans multiple times over the last year trying to get him. This is not a new story. The question is, can you pair Davis with Kyrie? That's the question. If Kyrie wants to leave, and it's been floated out there by the Davis camp that, you know, the way they believe it, he does, then this trade isn't going to work.
And the story of the morning that I think Mike Gorman would have the most inside knowledge on, because he spends a lot of time amongst the players and stuff, is that Kyrie seems to, matter of fact, the way it was phrased by Bleacher Report was that a source close to the Celtics confirmed that Kyrie Irving is genuinely interested in reuniting with LeBron James. That is for real, the source said.
That's the thing, though. I mean, who hands Bleacher Report that? I think that could be a way to depress a Celtic offer, or make New Orleans not look at a Celtic offer, or make Anthony Davis not look at a Celtic offer. You know, and maybe make the Lakers' offer look more palatable, which isn't.
But the Celtics...
Which it isn't.
Well, I see what you're saying. So, go ahead. The Celtics are not going to make any kind of trade because Kyrie's going to be gone.
Correct.
Anyway. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Correct. And all
why would a source close to the Celtics say that unless that person was Kyrie Irving?
It depends on if it's Kyrie or not.
Maybe it's Gordon Hayward. Because
there it is.
Because I need the time out there. Or maybe it's Terry Rozier.
All right. We will talk to Michael Dorman in just a matter of moments as we are here. At the media row, media center here in Atlanta in the Georgia World Congress Center. We'll be right back.
Winning, winning, winning in Atlanta.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Dutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I will say this. There is some frustration from Kyrie Irving. Of course there is, because this team is not performing the way he had hoped, and he is carrying a huge load, and he doesn't want to be the James Harden of New England, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's January. He hasn't made any kind of seismic decision like that. And let's say even if he is a little unhappy and a little unsure, don't you think bringing Anthony Davis aboard may quell all of those fears or concerns for Kyrie Irving? So I don't put
any guys, solo you.
The reality is just giving out points like nobody's business. That, of course, Jackie McMullen talking about the situation going on with all the moving pieces with Kyrie Irving, with Anthony Davis, a lot to talk about. Mike Gorman is the voice of the Boston Celtics.
Gorman.
Of course.
Huh? All right.
Yep. Hello. Hello.
I love what you do with my last name, Gorman.
I say it like a wrestling announcer. Like, oh, no.
You do. Like
here comes Gorman. And let me tell you this, is that... he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, is what I have to say about that. Mr. Gorman, how are you?
How's Atlanta, GA?
It's good. I've had a lot to do, unlike the other places where I sit alone miserable. I've actually been able to go and experience life.
That's your old stomping grounds, right?
It is. It is. I've been stomping all over it. I can tell you that much. Look
really?
Out, Atlanta. Your prodigal son is back. If you know what I'm saying.
I tried to clean up all those outstanding bills you had last time I was down there so that when you're down for the Super Bowl, nobody would bug you.
Hey, Johnny Law, don't get me on no parking ticket. I park where I want, if you know what I'm saying. All right, so, Mike, what's the deal? So Kyrie Irving's leaving?
Yeah, I know. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? I don't think anything's changed at all. I think Kyrie is open to all bidders when his time comes. And I think the Celtics will do everything in their power to get Anthony Davis and to try to keep Kyrie.
So what you say he's open to all bidders. What has changed between I'm staying, I'm going to be here that he announced at the beginning of the year, and he's open to all bidders in your mind?
Well, I never bought that announcement. I understood that announcement. I mean, Kyrie was looking at 81 games where 81 times in post-game press conferences or pre-game press conferences when he was available to the media, he was going to be asked the question, are you going to sign with Boston? So the easiest thing for him to do is to come out and say, yes, I am going to sign with Boston. My plan right now is to spend my entire career with the Celtics. And everybody gets excited and nobody asks the questions anymore. But when it comes time to actually negotiate as a free agent next year or this summer, Kyrie would be nuts not to listen to all offers. And that's what I think it was always his intention, was to listen to all offers. Now, I heard Jackie just a few moments ago say that there might be some I don't know what the word is I'm searching for. There might be some regrets on his part because the Celtics aren't playing to the level that he hoped that they would be playing at this particular time. But it doesn't matter how you're playing in January. It matters how you're playing in April and May. So, you know, he's going to have plenty of rest. The Celtics seem willing to rest him when he wants to rest. They're going to rest Al Horford. They're going to have a minutes restriction on him. I think the rest of the year, although Brad would tell you it's not a firm one, you can watch the minutes of his games. They seem to be carefully monitored. And this team's going to try to get themselves ready for the playoffs. My big question that I don't hear anybody asking is if all of a sudden we pick up the computer tomorrow, you flip on your computer and you find out that Anthony Davis has been traded to the Lakers, I don't know what plan B is for the Celtics. I don't know where they go then with all these first-round draft picks that they have. And again, does Kyrie then wander off to, I don't know, Brooklyn, wherever? So the next 10 days are really key because I do believe Scala said this, and I trust Scala on this because he's very good in studying all the options. He doesn't see there's any way that Celtics don't get Anthony Davis if he gets by the trading deadline and still hasn't been a deal made. Because Boston has the assets to put together, without question, the best offer. And if you're New Orleans, you're looking to unload a couple of salaries and rebuild from the bottom up, and Boston can give them a ton of first-round draft picks.
Okay,
plus
so
give them some good young players.
Sure, oh, without a doubt. And we've heard all the sound clips from press conferences, you know, pre- and post-game with Kyrie Irving, but you're there, and you're close to the team. You see him when the cameras are off. How frustrated is he? And does it seem like it's enough where he would actually go, well, you know what, this isn't quite what I thought it was going to be?
Well, I think if you ask him that question, how does he feel right now, he would probably tell you that this isn't quite what I thought it was going to be. But, you know, this is not we haven't just got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, this is still real early in the game. This isn't even – it's barely halftime. So there's a whole lot more to go. And if the Celtics get their act together and start playing like I think they're capable of playing and and play their way to the NBA Finals, Kyrie's not going anywhere.
Okay, I know you and I are old school. You know, we're lunch pail guys. But does any of this bother you that, like, Kyrie says, well, the team's not playing up to my standards when this team went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year without him? So there's a part of my mind that's like, dude, you've been given the keys to the car. This is your team. You know, and I know he's playing very well, and I know that, you know, he's doing what he can, but it sort of pisses me off that, you know, oh, the situation's not ideal. We're not playing that well. Well, isn't that some of it on him? I mean, he's the leader of the team. He's the star of the team.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is somewhat on him. You know, the adjustments have had to be made by Brown, by Rozier, by Tatum. To play with both Kyrie so that's something that probably is true. We're early in the game, people are just looking for something to talk about. I mean, I'd really like to know where Rick Bucher got his information that he suddenly wants to go play with LeBron again.
But you know what, though? That right there, you could just wildly speculate, and it makes sense.
Because, and it looked like he buried the hatchet a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, two things. Yeah. Number one, obviously the phone call to LeBron James, which took a lot of people by surprise. Number two, you saw that Instagram video that LeBron...
Was it ever confirmed that LeBron actually answered the phone?
Yes, it was. Actually, there's a story about how he was out to dinner, and he didn't answer it at first, and he was with Kevin Love, as a matter of fact. He was having dinner with Kevin Love when the phone rang. And
they buried the hatchet right in Danny Ainge's back.
Apparently so. But then, Mike, did you see the Instagram video that LeBron James made last week where he was playing a song?
Singing that rap song with the Kyrie lyrics in it?
Yeah, it was about, like, I wish we could go back and do it all over again. And he, like, put on there, like, Kyrie, this one's for you. Which, by the way, is borderline tampering. But, you know, I'm sure you could get in trouble for that.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So that's why I think...
They're not going to find LeBron. They don't find LeBron.
No, of course not. Of course not. But you understand why that was an easy conclusion to jump to. Because there's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of smoke there.
Yeah, there is a lot of smoke. You know what I mean? And, again, it would be a different story if the Celtics were like five games in front of Milwaukee right now. But they're not. And they don't even have home court advantage right now. So guys are going to be kind of pissed off, frankly. But I think that's normal, and I think winning can cure a lot of ills. The Celtics go on a road trip here coming up. They got some games coming up that they'll be tested at. We're in Toronto right after the All-Star break. You know, what happens in all those games and where the Celtics stand as we get down to the last 20 games of the season, that's when I think this talk is probably much more valid than it is right now. I mean, we haven't even got the All-Star break, and we haven't got the trading deadline. And again, I haven't heard anybody write about it or talk about it, but you have Danny on tomorrow. I don't know. You probably won't get the first base with this question, but what's plan B? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I mean, the first thing I want to ask Danny is, and he's answered this before for us, and I believe the answer is going to be the same, and that is, would you make a trade for a star player that you think can help you win, even if they don't agree to a contract extension? And he's told us before, yes, yeah, in the past. And that was when we were talking about Jimmy Butler, but we never specifically named names. And that just seems to weigh the way Danny rolls. You get him in-house, you can convince him, you know, to stick around because of, you know, the banners and the culture and all that. But it all comes down to right now whether or not you believe the Pelicans have a competent organization. Because if they were a competent organization, they would wait until the offseason and take what the Celtics have because the offer is so much better than the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you believe that the management of the Pelicans are willing to sit for a couple of months knowing that this guy's kind of a lame duck player and wait for that motherlode payoff that the Celtics have to offer?
Yes. In a word, yes, I do think I think that's what they will do, frankly. I think the table is pretty well set for Anthony Davis to come to Boston. This other stuff is somebody saying that he suddenly wants to go to L.A. and play with LeBron again. I think I've kind of panicky moves by people who are trying to change what makes the most sense for New Orleans, which is take the Celtics offer, which, you know, depending upon whom you talk to, is a bunch of first-round draft picks and probably pick two out of these three guys, and the three guys would be Smart, Tatum, and Brown.
All right. A couple of words here about Gordon Hayward, Mike, and we seem to come back to it once every other week that we talk to you. Gordon Hayward's not playing well, and we got a report of an unnamed Golden State Warriors player after the game last weekend saying he's hurting the Celtics on both ends of the floor. The Gordon Hayward the Celtics have.
You see, Fred made a great point. He doesn't think it's Draymond Green because Draymond Green would have gone on the record.
Right. So assuming it's not Draymond Green. Of him,
and he would have gone, nice broken leg.
Right.
Yeah.
But what is your take on Gordon Hayward? He certainly has not looked good the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the struggles continue for Gordon. I think it's very hard for him psychologically to realize that for physical reasons he's not able to play at the level he once was able to play at. I think he's tried to make adjustments to his game, which I think he's made some really good adjustments to his game, and that he kind of plays the game below the rim now as opposed to above it. He tries to be a facilitator as opposed to a scorer. He's not going to make any all-defensive teams, but it's not for lack of trying. But, you know, Gordon Hayward just right now is not the Gordon Hayward that the Celtics saw and the fans saw over the first 6 or 7 years of his career. So, I'm pulling for Gordon Hayward. I hope Gordon Hayward comes back to be the player he once was. I just don't know if it's going to happen this year. Paul George would tell you that from a similar injury, it takes a full year to recover, and then physically, and then you have to recover mentally, and that'll probably take you another 6 months. So we may not see Gordon Hayward, the Gordon Hayward we want to see till next year. It's difficult some nights to watch him play because you can see that he's really struggling.
Do you envision a future possibly where he's just an expensive bench player, where he's just a guy that averages, you know, 10 minutes.
You know, the Celtics have Tommy would answer that question by telling you the Celtics have a great history of a sixth man, yeah. And would he want to be that sixth man? I think the answer from Gordon right now would be yes. I'll take that job.
Yeah, probably doesn't want to even be the sixth man. Probably wants to be the 12th man.
Well, listen, every team needs a Scalabrine.
Yeah, like when it's when it's whatever time.
Gino time.
Yeah,
Hayward can be the new guy.
He gives better high fives than anyone.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I, I know what you're saying, but I really want to give the guy some slack. I mean, he's done nothing but do it right. He's always available to the media. He answers difficult questions. He looks you in the eye when you talk to him.
Yeah, no one's slamming him. We're just saying the situation. I mean,
what it's evolved into.
Right. There's nothing that he did that's wrong.
Right. I mean, there's just the reality of and you know that hopefully he'll get better. You hope that, but
by the playoffs. But right now, Mike, and we were talking about this before, when Brad Stevens shortens up his rotation in games that really matter or in the playoffs, how much can you really play Gordon Hayward as is?
He could turn out to be the odd man out. I agree.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You know, it's tough to have the odd man out be the guy who's got the highest salary on the team. So that just is not what you were planning for. But the one thing, to go back to a point you guys were making earlier, the one thing that I've said over and over again to you guys is that Danny, Wick, Steve, they want to win right now. They have future plans, but they want to win right now. Danny wants to win today. He doesn't worry about next month or 6 months or 2 years from now. He wants to win today. And as long as they keep that attitude, I think they'll get out of this thing okay one way or the other. But that's the difference for the Celtics right now. They're 180 degrees away from where New Orleans is at. New Orleans wants to lose and wants to rebuild their team from scratch. The Celtics want to win tomorrow, and they think they can win tomorrow if they get Anthony Davis this summer.
Yeah. All right, Mike, I know you're a connoisseur of gentlemen's clubs. any advice for the people that are coming to Atlanta in terms of where you can see a little naked lady?
I have no advice. You would be the guy I would come to for that information.
I'm sick of
your local history there.
I'm so
Fred's over it.
I'm so sick of strip clubs. It's going to be a long, long time before I go to another strip club. All right. Well, Michael Gorman.
That is Gorman. You got it. Yeah.
That is Michael Gorman. It's always a pleasure, sir. And we look forward to talking to you next week, regardless of where in the country you are.
Okay. Are you guys going to the actual game?
No. We're not important enough.
No, I don't.
First flight out on the second the show ends on Friday, we're going to the airport.
Yeah. Even though it's been fun. It's Atlanta's set up well for this.
Yeah.
I can't
complain. I did something very similar way back in the 92 Olympics where I was doing feeds, and we just had rows of television sets you sat in front of, and like the Japanese feed was behind me and the Australian feed was in front of me. Is that the way it is on Radio Row there? People just come walking down and stop them?
Yeah, I mean, they just bring, they bring like athletes and celebrities by, and they say, hey, do you want to talk to, you know, Mike Ditka? He's going to plug Charmin.
Which actually happened.
It's true. That's
right. Which actually happened.
Yes,
Wanted to talk about toilet paper. And I'll tell you, he really wanted to be on the air with us. So. He was having the time of his life.
Yep.
All right. Well, Mike Gorman, thank you for joining us. We look forward to talking to you next week. Take it easy.
Enjoy. See you.
Thanks.
All right.
By the way, coming up, a little programming note, 9 o'clock, we have Gene Steratore is going to be on with us. That should be interesting, obviously, with everything that's going on with that New Orleans game. And at 9:45, Pat McAfee. We've been trying to get him on for a while. I
mean, a checkered past for Pat McAfee. He's cleaned himself up after a rocky few years in there.
I got a text from our own Mike Lockhart, and he said, Dan just told me that Pat McAfee's coming on. That's awesome. I've never seen anybody drink beers as fast as him at the DraftKings event 2 years ago at Gillette.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this dude.
That's originally what got him in trouble many years ago.
McAfee rules.
Yeah.
He's
got stories.
I thought he was Josh McGowan. Wearing a sleeveless shirt.
So did I.
So do you remember when we were playing, like, there was some athlete that was trying a comedy career?
Yeah.
And we found
Jonas Gray.
Oh, Jonas Gray. That's right.
Yeah.
And we found a couple other ones. And someone at the station was like, hey, you know, Pat McAfee does a comedy. I was like, all right. So I went to go listen to it. And I'm expecting it to suck. And he killed. And like, I was like, this guy's legitimately really funny. Like, even doing like stand up. And he's got some good Jimmy Irsay stories, which I'll always take those.
Yeah,
almost as welcome as Jeff Fisher stories. So 9:45.
We'll have that for you. All right. Here are the headlines.
Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich.
And I'll tell you this, is that this hour of our show is brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. As Rich said, we will be Sterator.
Sterator
is going to be joining us at 9, and then Pat McAfee at 9:40. And so we're looking forward to that. A lot of talk about Gronkowski retiring. I would be shocked if he doesn't, but we've been over that 100 times. There is something interesting, though. The Ringer has an article out.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated has an article out that explores what opportunities would Gronkowski have outside of football if he were to retire.
Yeah, and the main person that Sports Illustrated interviewed for this is a guy who was one of the buddies of Mark Wahlberg. As a matter of fact, Rob Gronkowski met him at a charity golf event. This guy's name is Henry Penzi. He's been an associate of Wahlberg's for a long time. And Penzi's kind of been the dude who took Rob Gronkowski under his wing and said, you know what, I think that you might be able to have a successful movie career when this is all done and over with. So it goes into how they met and of course, you know, it was a bro down in between him and Wahlberg, and he steps in and kind of says, all right, well, let me see what I can find for you. And they talk about one of his first movies he was in. Now, I watched this movie when it came out. It was called You Can't Have It. And it had...
it was a Tyler Perry movie.
It had Armand DeSante. Remember that guy?
Oh, boy.
Armand DeSante and this model named Joanna Krupa. And it says...
Oh, I know that guy.
Oh, she wasn't happy with Gronk after
okay.
that. I remember that.
So the tagline was drinks, sex, murder, all before last call. And the poster has Armand DeSante way on the left, Joanna Krupa way on the right, and dead center and huge is Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski has two lines in the movie, and it talks about how this guy not only got Rob Gronkowski in it, but also got Goon and one of his brothers, the guy who drives the Gronk bus, Goon.
Well, I can tell you this, is that Krupa girl is a model in Miami who's married to a nightclub impresario.
Okay.
So by her being in this movie, it tells me that just some douche in Miami threw something together and decided to make it a movie.
It is so low budget.
Yeah.
So low budget. And so the story of how this all went down is just fantastic. And as told by the people who were there, they said before they started shooting, though, some adjustments need to be made. Gronkowski would be playing a cop. And Gordon said that they had to rewrite the script to take his part and, quote, beef it up a little bit just to make sure that it's worth the time for him. Once again, I think he only had, two lines in it, tops. The producers also cast Rob's brother Dan and his friend Robert Goon in smaller roles, and it appears they made Henry Penzi a co-producer of the movie, probably because they brought him Rob Gronkowski. They shot the movie in Los Angeles in the spring of 2015, a few months after Gronk won his first Super Bowl. Gordon remembers Gronk, that's the director, only being on the set for a handful of days, if that, but they quickly developed a good rapport. After filming one of his first scenes, Gronkowski asked the director excitedly, "How was that?" "Terrible," Gordon deadpanned, and then a beat later, "Just kidding." He put, "Just to see how he would react," chuckling. "The energy was good on the set, we joked around a lot, but seriously, how was Gronk as an actor?" He said, "He did fine. I think acting is something that definitely looks easier than it really is. Once you told him what to do and answered all of his questions, he did a good job. I thought he was solid." Then it says, "Not everyone felt the same." Just before the film premiered, TMZ tracked down Joanna Krupa.
Right, this is what I remember.
And asked whether Gronkowski would receive Oscar buzz for his role. Quote, "Well, I mean, considering he was probably the only person that we had to tape retake after retake for his one line, so I don't know. I think he was too busy focusing on the hot girls on the set." Krupa also felt Gronkowski hadn't done enough to promote the film, which, again, was one of the selling points of having him in the movie. She says, quote, "To me, he's not a big team player."
I mean, Krupa, I don't believe, is an actress. I have a mutual friend, and all it seems she does is go out to her husband's nightclubs.
Right.
I don't think... she studied the Strasbourg method or whatever the hell it is.
Well, she's a model. I don't think she's an actress.
No, she's not.
Okay.
It sounds like someone did a favor for her husband.
Yeah, you're right.
And she did, and she wanted, why would you even care on a poster that no one's ever going to see? And why would you care about that? And then also,
Why would you care about Gronk not giving 100% to the performance?
Right.
Like you're sitting there.
He's the reason anyone's even heard of this film.
Yeah, but like, what are you possibly doing that Gronk is ruining? What technique are you using?
Yeah.
Are you staying in character? Are you staying in character off the set? Like, literally, what could he do to make you worse at your job?
Oh, without a doubt. And so, and I watched part of that American Violence that he was in with Bruce Dern and Denise Richards. He's just a dude who's like a bad guy and like a henchman dude. And that's a great role for him. Like, be the dude that's standing behind The Rock in the new Fast and the Furious movie. Don't have any lines. You know what? Coordinate a fight scene. You can make anyone look like they can fight nowadays. Just, you know, you're big, you're intimidating, and everyone loves Rob Gronkowski. And they did say in this article, the one thing that I've been saying, he has what you can't buy, and that's an unbelievable amount of likability. People love Rob Gronkowski.
Q rating off the charts.
He's charismatic as hell. But they talk about, like, when he first did that show, Crashlytes. You know, that was the kind
of Nickelodeon. Yeah. Kids watched
it. It was like the Nickelodeon version of, like, Ridiculousness or whatever that show is, which is the ripoff version of Tosh.0. So they talked about how he showed up, and it's like I think they filmed like 30 episodes in 2 weeks. And at one point, he just goes, man, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be. And basically, all you have to do is just like comment on a video.
No, they have a young woman and a young man next to him, and they do everything. I've seen the show. I've got kids.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd be like, you know, hey, and then, oh, no, he's going to fall. And then Gronk would say, like, that's what I call slipping and sliding.
Yeah,
and you'd be like,
he would have one line,
and
other two people would spend about 4 minutes setting things up, and go to Gronk. He'd have one line,
and it would be like in huge block letters.
Yeah,
and he would get this like dazed look on his face. Yeah. No one said they'd be reading.
One of the producers said he's not much of a chameleon. He's going to be him every single time he's on camera. It's like if you're casting a Dolly Parton or a Shaquille O'Neal, you can't really get a role out of them other than playing themselves.
Well, he's going to be in the remake of My Left Foot.
Right. Yeah. All of the roles that Daniel Day-Lewis turned down, they're going straight to Gronk.
Yeah, it's Amadeus 2.
Amadeus 2, The Revenge. So anybody who has a prominent body and prominent presence, they're always going to be them. You can put a comedic spin on it and put somebody in facial hair or age somebody's face, but other than that, I'm not too sure. Listen, there are several actors who have made a career out of being them. Schwarzenegger. Matter of fact, remember the movie Raw Deal? The tagline of Raw Deal is somebody gave Schwarzenegger a raw deal. Nobody gives Schwarzenegger a raw deal.
So,
and he was playing a guy, his name was like Jeff Maxwell or something.
Yeah.
But they put Schwarzenegger in the, as if that he's the one in the movie.
So if you give Gronk a remake of one of those movies, he could theoretically pull it off.
Dude,
considering
Van
Schwarzenegger
Damme
spoke no English at all.
Schwarzenegger in Conan. Yeah, is struggling with English.
He can't
talk. You put Gronk in one of those, it's money.
I'm telling you, put him in a Fast and the Furious movie. Let him be like the third henchman and let him have one or two lines and the crowd will love it. Make a career out of it. Be the dude that, do you remember the movie Heat when Al Pacino ran in and picked up Henry Rollins and threw him against the wall?
Yes.
That is like, I don't think science can make that happen.
I know.
Like, you literally picked up a giant man in Henry
Rollins
and
pulled him above him. Yeah.
And Al Pacino's like three apples tall and he goes, I'm a tough New York guy. Rah! Maybe do that. Get him to do all the roles that Henry Rollins turned down.
Yeah. Henry Rollins, not a tall man. But he does drive the car in Jackass, where Steve-O agrees to get the tattoo.
I remember that, yeah. But he didn't really do much in that. He was just like, this is crazy!
He just swore a lot.
He did swear a lot, yes.
He did, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. We're going to be joined by Gene Steratore, and we will have that for you in just a moment.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.